Today I continue my sermon series on 1 Corinthians by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which begins with these words, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Here we see that Paul now addresses yet another problematic issue among the Christians at Corinth, the issue of spiritual gifts. So, what does Paul mean by spiritual gifts? Well, simply put, spiritual gifts are gifts that are unique to Christians, either because, one, only Christians have them, or, two, because only Christians give glory to God for the gifts and abilities that they have. For example, any skills or abilities that even unbelievers possess have also been given to them by God, but they don't realize it, or if they do, they don't believe it. Therefore, even though unbelievers and believers might have similar gifts from God, only believers give glory to God for those gifts. However, there are certain spiritual gifts that only Christians have. For example, Paul says, "I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Here Paul is pointing out the fact that the Holy Spirit would never move a believer to reject Jesus and curse him. So obviously, if you have hatred or anger toward God or you're cursing him, that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from your sinful nature and the devil. On the other hand, though, the only way a person can trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior is if the Holy Spirit gives them new hearts of repentance and faith. As Luther once wrote when he gave this explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, he said, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts." Simply put, repentance and faith in Christ are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to every Christian, because without these gifts you could not be a Christian. So, repentance and faith in Christ are gifts that every Christian has been given by the Holy Spirit, and no unbeliever has these gifts, which is why they are unbelievers. With that understood, Paul then goes on to list various spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit does not give to every Christian. In other words, some Christians have one kind of gift, and other Christians have another kind of gift. And yet, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we're equal in value before God. But that leads to a question. Why did Paul need to address the issue of spiritual gifts at all? Well, sadly, some Christians in Corinth had the sinful notion that certain spiritual gifts were more important than others, and if you had one of those more important gifts, well then this meant you were somehow more special to God and better than other Christians. But you know, we dare not look down on those Corinthians as though we're somehow beyond such triviality. We Christians today also struggle with the same sinful lies. Think of it, we love to compare ourselves with others. We love to think that maybe we're better than others if we have certain skills and abilities that others don't. We want to be, ultimately, more valuable and more important than others. That's how our sinful nature works. We want to be popular. We want to be noticed. We want to think we're higher up than others. But my friends, this is a sinful way of thinking for two reasons. First of all, Paul teaches that any spiritual gift you have has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you can't boast about a certain gift as though you conjured it up in yourself or developed it on your own. Any gift you have was given to you by the Holy Spirit, and so God gets all the glory. However, the second reason it's sinful to exalt yourself or promote yourself or think you're better than others because you have a certain skill or ability, the reason this is sinful is that Paul teaches that any spiritual gift you have is ultimately for the purpose of serving other Christians and not for exalting yourself above them. Therefore, when we boast about our spiritual gifts as though we gave them to ourselves and as though we're somehow more important than others because we have certain gifts, when we do that, we're sinning. When we use our spiritual gifts to exalt ourselves rather than serve others, we're sinning. Of course, the good news is that when we realize this and we're convicted and have guilt and shame over this, we can come to God with our sin of self-centeredness and self-promotion and know that we have forgiveness because God's Son served us by sacrificing Himself on the cross in our place of damnation. So as we focus on Jesus, as we focus on all that He's done for us, we will be moved to give God all the glory for our spiritual gifts. We will be moved to use those gifts to serve others. With that said, allow me now to make a few comments about the various spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in today's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First, Paul mentions wisdom, which is simply the ability to take the knowledge of God's Word and then apply it to practical situations in everyday life. And then closely related to this is the gift of knowledge, which means that some people have accumulated information about the content of Holy Scripture, and then by using God's gift of wisdom, they can apply that knowledge of biblical content to the various aspects of our lives today. Next, Paul mentions faith. But please understand, here Paul is not talking about faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, because every Christian has been given that kind of faith. Instead, in this context, Paul is talking about a particular kind of faith, more in the sense of having strength or courage to endure certain stressful or difficult situations that would be overwhelming for other people. Then Paul goes on to mention gifts of healing and other miraculous powers, which refers to the miraculous ability to heal people or do other miracles simply by giving the command. For example, the apostles of Jesus were given the special gift of working miracles of healing. However, let me stress that very few people were given these gifts of healing and other miraculous powers, and even those who were given these gifts, they could not use them whenever they wished, but only when it was God's will. For example, the Apostle Paul had the gift of healing, and yet he couldn't heal everybody when he wanted to, only when God let him. And there was a time when Paul couldn't even heal himself. Paul could only submit to God's will and trust that in the midst of his suffering, God's grace was sufficient for him. Therefore, we should be very concerned about some people today who claim to have the gift of healing, who claim they can heal anybody, anywhere, anytime, as long as that person has enough faith, or as long as that person is able to donate a certain amount of money to their organization. We should be very wary about people making such claims to miraculous healing today. In fact, honestly, I think very few people have the gift of healing or other miraculous powers today. You see, the main reason these gifts were given to the apostles was to prove that they had Jesus' authority and that their teaching was foundational for the church of all ages. But you see, now that we have the apostles' teaching in the Holy Scripture, we no longer need new miracles because the miracles already performed by the apostles when they were alive are adequate to prove that they had Christ's authority. However, even if some people today do have these miraculous gifts, remember they can only use those gifts when God allows. In addition, we need to remember that any miraculous healing that we receive this side of heaven is by definition a temporary healing. You know, think of it. Those people who were healed by the apostles, they eventually got sick again. All of them grew old, and all of them eventually died. You see, any healing we receive this side of heaven is by definition incomplete and temporary. The only time we Christians will get full and lasting physical healing will be on the day of resurrection. Now, with that said, Paul goes on to mention the gift of prophecy. Now, in some rare cases, prophecy referred to people who were given a special revelation about a future event. But the fact is, in most cases, prophecy simply refers to the preaching and teaching of God's Word in a language that everyone can understand. So, in a sense, what pastors do from the pulpit is prophecy. Now, of course, there's different kinds of prophecy. There's the prophecy that any kind of lay person can do when they're sharing God's Word. There's the kind of prophecy that a pastor does when he speaks from authority in the pulpit. And then there's the really special kind of prophecy that was done by, for example, God's Old Testament prophets or Jesus' New Testament apostles, whom God used to actually write books of Holy Scripture. So whenever you read about prophecy in Scripture, you have to ask yourself, who's doing the prophesying? It might just be a lay person sharing God's word with someone else, or it might be a pastor speaking authoritatively in Jesus' name, or it might be some very major prophet from the Old Testament, or one of Jesus' apostles who the Holy Spirit actually used to give authoritative teaching for the church of all ages. The context has to determine what kind of prophecy is being done. Next, Paul mentions the ability to distinguish between spirits. Well, this is referring to being able to discern between faithful teachers and false teachers. In fact, this gift is closely related to the gifts of wisdom and knowledge, because you would use those gifts to determine if someone's teaching is faithful to God's word or not. Obviously, if someone is faithful to God's word, then they're being moved by the Holy Spirit. But if somebody is teaching falsely in contradiction to God's word, then obviously they're being moved by another spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Finally, Paul mentions the ability to speak in tongues and interpret tongues. Simply put, this was the miraculous ability to speak or understand an earthly language that you had not studied before for the purpose of sharing the gospel of Christ with others. Now, let me stress that this gift of speaking or interpreting tongues was not given to every Christian. Let me also stress that what passes as the gift of tongues in many churches today is not the biblical gift. For what happens in some churches today is incoherent babbling. It's not a known earthly language. It's often gibberish, and that's not the biblical gift of tongues. I'll talk more about what tongues actually is in a future sermon when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. However, at this point in my sermon series, I need you to understand that one of the problems at Corinth was that some who had the gift of tongues thought that having that gift made them better than other Christians. And so they were using this gift to show off how spiritual they were, rather than using their gift to serve the body of Christ, as Paul says they should. And so Paul condemns their misuse of their gift of tongues. Now, there are other spiritual gifts that Paul does not mention in our reading from Corinthians. They're mentioned in our other readings today, from Romans and also from 1 Peter. However, what all three readings today have in common is that, one, we give God all the glory for any gift that we have, and two, we use any gift that God has given us to serve others. Now, in our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul goes on to talk about the various parts of the human body and how no part of the body is independent or better than another. The various parts of the body form one body, and each individual part of the body has its special function. Well, in the same way, each Christian is a part of the body of Christ, and no individual Christian is independent from or better than another. We all have our unique gifts, and we are to use them to glorify God and build up the body of Christ. In closing, each Christian here at Concordia Lutheran Church has been given certain spiritual gifts. Some of them were listed in our readings for today. There are other gifts that Paul doesn't even mention in our readings today. We might think of gifts like musical ability, or technological skills, or handyman skills, you name it. The point is, whatever abilities you have been given, they've been given to you by God. And that's why they're spiritual gifts. And according to what we've learned today, we are to use our spiritual gifts, first of all, to give glory to God, because He's the one who gave them to us. And two, we are to use those gifts to serve others and to build up the body of Christ. My friends, the reason we use our spiritual gifts in this way is that Jesus used His gifts to serve us. Think about it. Jesus performed miracles to heal others, but He refused to use His divine power to save Himself from the cross. That's right, Jesus willingly died on the cross for you. And because of that sacrifice, your many sins are forgiven. Because of that sacrifice, you know that God loves you. Because of that sacrifice, you have the hope of eternal life with God. As God's forgiven children, You get to use the gifts the Spirit has given you to glorify God and to serve others, just as Christ has served you. Amen.